Good morning, I am Malcolm, part of the ministry team here in Ashstead, and it's my privilege to be sharing God's word with you this morning. Before we begin, shall we pray? Pray that I might speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Nostradamus was a controversial 16th century prophet. On the night before he died, he said, "Tomorrow I shall no longer be here." Well, he got that bit right. Sir Winston Churchill, before he went into a coma, reportedly said, "I'm bored with it all." Spike Milligan asked that his gravestone have the words, "I told you I was ill." People's last words often tell us quite a bit about the character of that person. And this morning we're looking at the last words of Jesus as recorded by Matthew in his Gospel. We had those words just a few minutes ago. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus had just met with his disciples after he'd risen. We read that they worshipped him, but some doubted. The Greek word can equally mean they hesitated. I wonder why they doubted. I don't think what it was that they doubted that Jesus had risen from the dead. They believed he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But could he be God himself? Could they be looking at God himself? This would go against all their Jewish teaching, with their strong monotheistic faith. "You shall have no other gods but me." Could this be God? It was Thomas who, according to John's Gospel, a little later, said the words, "My Lord and my God." Jesus loves it when we worship him, but he loves it even more when we obey him. For he has an important task for each and every Christian. And we can easily fall into the trap of reducing the gospel to fit it into our particular lifestyle. But if Jesus really is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, if his sacrifice for sin really was for the whole world, then that's quite a different matter. The Messiah whom all the disciples abandoned in Gethsemane is now risen, ascended, glorified. He sits on the throne of the universe. He has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. He's given them every reason to worship him. But now he says, "Go further and obey me. Go and make disciples, for all authority is mine." So what's Jesus saying here? Well, he's not saying that the world now is how he intends it to be. He wants to take it from where it is to where it one day will be. And where it is with all its corruption, its greed, and its wickedness. But it won't always be like that. One day, all will be under his life-giving rule. But until then, the amazing thing is that Jesus wants me and you to be part of the process of making disciples of all nations. If we look back at the life of the church over the past 2,000 years in its various forms, it's made many, many mistakes. And sadly, it continues to make those mistakes today. We let our Lord down so often and so easily. And therefore, it's easy for us to despair and say, "Well, you know, nothing's going to change. When Jesus comes again, then things will be different." But the challenge of those first disciples I'm afraid it's a challenge to us also, is that we have a part to play in making the world as it should be. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that asks the question, what does it mean to go? What if I spent a large part of my life in one community, in one home, worshipping in one church? Will God say, Malcolm, I told you to go, and you stayed? Recently I listened to a talk on the Lord's Prayer, and the speaker commented on the words, give us this day our daily bread. And he said that those words really mean, give us tomorrow's bread today. In other words, he's saying it's a kingdom prayer. It's praying that God's kingdom, which one day will be fully visible, we want that to come today. So going includes us being here in Ashdod or wherever it is you're listening from. It means going into the community in which we live and work and serve and seek to make disciples of all people around us. Of course, there are those who go further afield, often quite sacrificially, and we do have a responsibility, I believe, to support them in prayer and generosity as well. So do we need amazing faith? No. Just faith as small as a mustard seed. Do we need to be a Bible scholar to know that God is love? No, we just show it. Do we need a diocesan certificate to pray for others? No, we just pray. Do we need to have enough theology to defend the doctrine of the atonement or the Trinity? Do we need to know that to share the good news? No, of course not. We just do it in word and in deed. Go and make disciples. Is that a difficult commission? No, it's not difficult. Actually, it's impossible. Our world is a more dangerous, more hostile place for Christians than it ever has been. There were more Christian martyrs in the 20th century than any previous century. And it looks like this century, things are getting worse year by year. It's impossible. Unless. Matthew's Gospel, you may recall, opened up with the words, Emmanuel, God with us. And they end with the words, Jesus saying, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I'm with you now, I'll be with you in the future, and we'll be together in eternity. Just 11 disciples went to meet the risen Christ in Galilee. Throughout the rest of the Gospel, we've been reading of 12 disciples. Bruner writes, the number 11 limps. The church that Jesus sends into the world is fallible, 11-ish, imperfect. Yet Jesus used exactly such a church to do his perfect will. Jesus takes the imperfect number and gives it a perfect vocation. We may at times feel that we're limping along as Christians. But let's remember this, that Christ, who began a good work with those 11 disciples, he wants it to continue through me, yes, and through you too. World crises, national crises, well, they're nothing new. And the current COVID-19 challenge is just another one of the challenges that we and most of the world is having to face. So physically, particularly those of us in the vulnerable category, physically, we can't go anywhere at the moment. but the command is still there. Go and make disciples. And as a church and as individuals, we have to work out how we might do that in this place at this time. No need to panic. No need to be fearful. Worship Jesus, but also obey him. Go and make disciples. Shall we pray? Lord, give us the courage to speak and act in faith in the very places that you have sent us, confident that your word will not return empty and void, but will accomplish your purposes according to your will. Confident too that you will be with us to the very end of the age. Amen.